You're listening to Literally, the podcast where you literally get a complete behind-the-scenes peek at a one-on-one business coaching relationship and the transformation that unfolds over the course of 6 months. I'm your host, Lacey Seitz, business mentor and success coach, and the founder of A Lit Up Life. These are recordings of actual coaching sessions with one of my clients where you get to experience her journey right along with her and gain insight into building your own lit up life and the business that you desire.
All right, guys, welcome to session 8. Okay, so first what I want to do is just set the stage for you a little bit. Obviously, we record this podcast well in advance, so we have time to get it edited and out to you guys. And so in case we miss a session or have to move anything, it doesn't impact what airs with the podcast. So all that to say, this session was recorded as our final session of 2023. So Robin and I had this before we were kind of both going off for our winter holidays. So take that into account when you're listening to this, because what I think is interesting about this session is that we didn't actually do a lot of coaching, which might sound weird for a coaching session. But what I mean is, I feel like this was a very reflective session. Like, obviously, Robin was bringing a lot of like reflective energy for where she's at, and also was kind of going into downtime in her business and time off. And so sometimes we don't need more coaching, more next steps. Like, obviously Robin has a lot coming up, but she kind of knows what that is and she's planned for it in advance so she could take this time off. So sometimes we just need a reflection. We just need to like narrate what's been going on for us and what's been coming up from us and to be seen in that and witnessed in that. So I just wanted to say, listen with that in mind, because I think that sometimes those sessions can be just as powerful. And sometimes, you know, especially like end of year vibes, that kind of stuff, it's really okay to lean into that. I think sometimes as coaches, we feel so much pressure to like make every session this like big to-do list or this like ultimate deep dive. And sometimes we really can just lean into that reflective energy, take it in and really land where we've been and where we're going. And that can be just as powerful. So excited for y'all to listen.
What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I feel like it's been like a while, but yeah. It hasn't. But I know we had to like move a session and yeah, you know, all the things that come with that. So tell me how, you know, last week was like a big week for you and like,
yeah,
you know, personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm. We had a sale, which was fun.
So fun. That was so wild, right?
I know. I just like, yeah, just I guess for the context for people listening, I saw this deposit in my bank account and I thought it was a weird number because I don't have any offers at that price point. And I was like, you know what? This is probably like a spam thing. I'll deal with it later. And then it was someone who found the website before it's been marketed, published, or anything properly and paid in full for a whole year. So I was like, thank you. I'm so sorry. We're not ready for you, but we're going to be.
Did she like tell you anything like about what she Googled to get her there? Anything?
And no, I didn't want to like be like, okay, like what's going on here?
Fair. You're like, this isn't even a thing yet, yeah, but thanks for being here.
Yeah, weird. It's so funny because someone keeps marketing on Instagram ads to me that someone guessed their URL and bought their product before they launched it. And like, that's the hook on the ad. And I was like, whoa, this just happened.
That is so funny. Oh my gosh, so good. So I just want to say how cool it was that Robin got this fertility cocoon sale out of nowhere. You know, basically someone just obviously Googling, finding it, paying. Because obviously we don't want to run our businesses betting on the fact that that's what's going to happen. But I think we also want to run our businesses holding the opening for that and knowing that magic can come, right? So it's a little bit of both and. Like our whole business strategy can't be like, hopefully people find it out of nowhere and then buy. But like that does happen sometimes. And it is really, really amazing. And I think such a cool confirmation when it does and is so much to celebrate. But again, we could make that wrong too then, right? We could be like, oh yeah, but it wasn't like from the strategy. And so what good does it do? But again, it's so worth celebrating either way. And I just wanted to name that because I think that sometimes we either expect that's how every sale should come, or if a sale does come that way, we make it wrong. And so I just really wanted this to be evidence that like, this is an amazing thing. Like this can be the universe giving you the biggest wink. And also, of course, it's not the strategy with which to operate entirely, but the magic is there and it definitely can show up. And I hope this was just a cool reminder of that for everyone.
Yeah, so there's 75% of the content in the hub and she's like obsessed with it. I can see she's already gone through a significant percentage of it. So happy that she's there. So excited that she's there. We're going to surprise her with like a little gift as like the first founding member. So yeah, we're just so, so grateful. And it's so fun as a business owner to feel that excitement. Like I'm always thankful for success in my business, but there's something about that first sale. Like no matter how much it is, it's just like someone believes in this little dream I had. Thank you.
Totally. I also feel like when you're used to doing one-on-one, sometimes a sale that isn't one-on-one is like a really big mindset shift too. Like I had that when Dateable started in some ways where I'm like, oh, all these people are just like paying us. Yeah. That's interesting. Like, you know, not that the exchange doesn't feel good either way, but it is a different feeling.
I hadn't even thought of that, but it's so true. I literally did nothing. Like that was the most positive sale I've ever made in my life. Yeah. And, you know, just like selfishly, felt good that like what I've gone through was gonna make something better for someone else too. So yeah, it was just a big win.
So good. Okay, amazing. All right, tell me about any like personal update that you want to share that obviously don't feel like you have to, but I just know you had like big appointments and stuff.
Oh yeah, everything's good there. So nothing like significantly new to report yet, but I'm back in that like liminal space of like, where are we? What's going on? Fertility related. So we're back in the trenches.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have a path forward there? Like, are you like, I know our path. It's just like, I'm sitting in it. Or are you like, I still have like big decisions to make? Again, you don't have to like share what all of those are.
Well, there was a doctor my doctor here, my naturopathic doctor, has a referral to a specialist who doesn't take patients on anymore. And she sent her a personal message being like, can you please help this patient of mine? Like, there's something here that the doctors are missing and that she's just so special to me. And I really want you like to help her. I know, so sweet. I saw the text. And that doctor doesn't take patients anymore, but she felt she got me in and I had an appointment with her and she's an angel. And she did find new details on the autopsy report that had been missed. So there was, there was calcification in the placenta, which to her indicated a blood clot.
Mm.
So she was like, yeah, the baby looked totally fine. Genetic tests were perfect, but you probably had a blood clot. And so obviously, like for future pregnancies, that's something that like they would have to work on. So she sent me for a bunch of tests to see what's going on there and started me on some other medications that are like quite annoying, but that's okay. Got a very bruised tummy.
Yeah. Such a gift, though, it sounds like, to feel like you have a path, at least where before it felt like no path, right?
Yeah. And you know what? There's just like, I just keep having this thing mirrored back to me when someone's a professional and they like genuinely give a shit and they like really care and they're like really in the trenches with you. Like, that's how I love to be with my clients.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about you because I feel that from you, but it's hard to find that.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, especially when it's a medical thing, I don't know, in the US you pay private, it's a bit different, but here it's all public and no one really like, I don't know, it's just like a shitty system. So to have someone like take, like she took almost 2 hours of her time with me and I've never had more than like a 30 minute appointment ever with anyone.
Yeah.
And I was just like, thank you for just making me feel like I'm not crazy and that there's something here that they missed. So it just feels good to know that someone's in your corner for you.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I mean, I know it's not like, oh, we're just so happy now in all the ways, but I think like just to have that support, oh my gosh, so, so good. I love this conversation that Robin brought up around how meaningful it is to have someone really like in the trenches with you, whether that's her doctor or a coach or anything like that, right? Any like service provider that's really willing to get in it with you and how much that matters. You guys know I talk a lot about how in coaching, I really believe that the biggest determiner of success is not what strategy we pick, but the quality of the relationship between coach and client. And, you know, I really think that's what Robin's highlighting for us here, like having someone in it with you, regardless of what the journey is or what the outcome might be, can be the real ticket. And, you know, I think so often we forget that or ignore that or deprioritize that when in so many ways it is absolutely everything. And so hopefully this is just a reminder, whether you're a client and you're kind of just like, why doesn't this feel better? Like, do you need someone that's more in the trenches with you? Or you're a coach and you're like, I should be giving them so much more, like, are you in the trenches with them? Because like, that's probably where they're getting the most out of it. So this is just a reminder as a way to look at things as coach or client, but having someone in it with you, in the trenches, in partnership with you, is wildly useful for your results and wildly meaningful. And it's something we can't overlook.
I just so value professionalism now too. Like, do your damn Truly. Job. Do a good job at it, please.
I feel like once you're a business owner, like, your level of like expectation goes up so drastically.
And judgment too. When I'm like paying money for something, yes. And I'm like, what?
It's so true. Okay, amazing. So where should we dive in? Do you want to dive into fertility cocoon stuff? Do you want to dive into mothered business stuff? Tell me.
I don't know. I was thinking about it. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? I feel like there's so many different things happening, but also I feel like it's really peaceful. So I'm not like challenged. I think like, obviously, we know my blind spot right now is the copy on the sales page. Although it converted clearly to like, that's good.
Yeah. It didn't work that bad. Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I'm like just getting so hyped about the community piece there and like so excited about how it's going to be fun. I'm also throwing with this other girl who does like high teas. I'm like obsessed with high tea. That's like my thing. And we're doing a fertility.
Oh my God, so cute.
Right? Like as a business shower instead of a baby shower, and like how we can celebrate all the identities of women outside of just like the married baby thing and just like really showing up for each other in different seasons of life, not just when we have a baby or when we get married. So I'm really stoked on that. It's an in-person event. And, you know, I think the in-person community piece is going to be really important for us. So that's happening in January. And yeah, the social grid's done. The hub will be done this week. So we're good.
So exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that sale just like solidified things in like a funny way too, right? Where you're just like, okay, this is like a proven concept now. And it just like, it makes it easier to move forward in a different way, right?
Yeah, because I've been working with people independently. Lindsay and Liza obviously have helped hundreds of people get pregnant, but it's different when it's like all together and like someone gets the concept without me having to explain it. And we have a pretty robust wait list already. So
good.
Yeah, I'm really hyped. Yeah.
Okay, so probably makes sense to talk about their business stuff then?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I feel like it's a bit on the back burner. I'm back into my flow with social media, which is good.
You are, yes. Tell me how that's feeling. I know for a little bit it was almost like, could I just never again? And now you're like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Not quite not that bad? Or is that what you're making the face about?
I don't mind creating content. I have a hard time consuming content. So yeah, I'm kind of one of those like create and dip people. And I realized that my tension was when I was a consume and not create rabbit hole totally. Cycle because of everything that's been going on. I just like couldn't stop looking and became a really toxic place. So now I'm back on the create and dip. Not really. Like my favorite part of Instagram is always the DMs because I have amazing relationships with people and like that's where I like to hang out. So yeah, I still have been good there, but it's the creating piece that's feeling like I'm back in flow. And also like I just feel like I know what I want to say.
Totally. I feel like it's almost like now that you have that like frame of the mothered business, there's so much you can bring to that and it seems like that's flowing really well.
Totally. And it's funny when you make a commitment, like I used to be such a commitment phobe, but over and over and over, I see when I commit, things just like are liberating, you know?
Yeah, like totally.
You just realize like this is it, and it's simple, and it's just do the damn thing time.
It's funny because I remember when we were talking about it, you know, when we were talking about like what does it look like to think about even getting off or whatever, and looking at your numbers, it's like, well, this is actually like a really successful avenue for you or traffic source for you or whatever. And so I think like what's so helpful to see there is like, I think it would be so easy to just like dip and be like, this doesn't feel good. I just don't want to do it. But I feel like you were really great to be like, oh, okay, this actually probably is a significant traffic source. What I actually don't like is the consuming. I could just shift this. And it feels like that was so quick, actually. I am so obsessed with how Robin framed this around social media. But what she said is there is liberation in commitment. And I just could not agree more. I feel like truly that's how I feel about almost everything in my business. I've been really committed and consistent for so long in my business. And I think someone could look at that and be like, oh my gosh, there's like so little freedom in that. And to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's where like all the liberation in my business exists in some ways, right? It's like, it makes it so easy. It removes the decision fatigue. It feels so flowy and simple and obvious. And, you know, I think that we miss that sometimes. We forget that like, commitment isn't the opposite of freedom. You know, commitment isn't the opposite of liberation. Sometimes it is exactly what leads to it. And so I just really wanted to highlight Robin's take on it here and how she was experiencing that with social, because I think the same is true for so many of us in so many regards in our business, social and otherwise. And so I hope this was just a useful, you know, tool or concept or way to think about it that can maybe help you land how you could get more committed or why you can feel a lot of freedom and liberation in the commitment that you've made.
I'm really good at taking action. And I keep saying over and over again, for me personally, my actions have to come before the mindset.
Yep, totally.
My mindset will catch up, but like, I'm usually not a mindset first person. I'm usually learning about my mindset through doing things. I'm very tactile.
No, I totally agree with that. I think they are always interplaying. I think sometimes your mindset pulls your action forward. Sometimes your action pulls your mindset forward. Most of us gravitate a little bit more toward one or the other. But I think like it's almost always both. And it's just so helpful to see that, or almost to know your hack. Like if your hack is like I take action and it catches up, then like let's just keep hacking that, you know? I really love how Robin brought up the idea that actions are often what shift her mindset. I think that is so true. I think that they both really have to be working together to pull you forward. And I think that sometimes we forget that. Like, we think I have to wait to take the action until my mindset is where it needs to be. And what I see time and time again, where someone is constantly waiting for the action to feel good, constantly waiting to have absolutely zero resistance, they are always going to move slower, right? And maybe that's okay. Maybe you want to move slower. There doesn't have to be anything wrong with that. But if you're like, why am I not moving at the pace I feel like I should? This actually could be one of those reasons, because you're waiting for it to be comfortable. You're waiting for your mindset to be fully aligned. And sometimes it's really, really, really hard to get your mindset fully on board with something that you haven't done, right? So sometimes we have to do it and be uncomfortable, and then our mindset catches up. And usually, not always, but usually, that is the fastest path to success almost every single time.
I know I'm really stuck when I'm not taking action. This is not like a common thing for me. I don't really have a fear of failure. Like, I'm not, like, I've fallen on my face publicly so many times. It's like, it's okay. But I don't like feeling stagnant. And yeah, this year I was in maintenance mode. So there was that energy that I needed to shift.
For sure. And I think, like, for you, I know we were talking about too how it feels like this has been a season where things just aren't like, quote unquote, working in the way they used to work to a certain extent, but that's actually not true. What's like more true is like you weren't working in the way you used to work. And yeah, so now that you're kind of back in it, it will probably like match it so quickly. But I think that's so healing and helpful to see sometimes, where sometimes it can be like, oh man, was there like a big shift in our industry or whatever? And I think what you saw when we looked at all that is like, oh no, I just stopped showing up.
Yeah, like it makes sense.
Yeah, right. Like when your results make sense, it's like really freeing, right?
Yeah.
So Robin was saying here how when your results make sense, it's so freeing. And I couldn't agree more. I feel like in some ways that is like the entire structure around which Datable operates, right? Is we're like, let us show you the data. Let us tell you how to find it. If your results make sense and you can like see them in your data and in your business, like everything gets easier. Like sometimes it's not always information that you want to hear. Like, you know, Rob and I were kind of talking about like, oh, well, you just stop doing some things that work. So that makes sense. And like, sometimes that can be hard to hear, but also there's so much freedom in that. It doesn't feel like something random is like causing this terrible thing for you, or this thing outside you that you absolutely cannot control is, you know, massively impacting your results. I've literally never seen that be the case ever in business, right? So that is why I really like, I mean, I don't even know how, like I'm like stumbling over my words saying this because I get so excited, but this is why I am so freaking passionate about what we're doing with data, is because when your results make sense is when you are free in your business. When you're like, oh yeah, like this is just an example from a client recently, but like she had never spent any time like looking at her checkout page, and it was like, not optimized, let's say, right? And we noticed when we looked at all her data, like the checkout page was the problem, and it was also the place where she could get the biggest bang for her buck if she made a change. And so when she looked at it, she was just like, oh, this just makes so much sense. This is the like one place in my funnel I've put absolutely no attention or energy, and it's the one place that's getting tripped up. I could just fix that. Like, and she was so like, you know, enlivened by that, like inspired by that, empowered around that, because it was like, oh yeah, this just makes sense and I can go fix it. So I think exact same thing here, and I think it applies across the board in business. So this is just a reminder. I mean, data or otherwise, obviously I believe in looking at data, but even if you can just go, oh, I just stopped showing up. Like I don't actually need data. What happened is I stopped showing up, so my results make sense. Like that is where change is going to start to occur, and that is where your empowerment is going to come back, and that is where real results are built.
It's always like, I was kind of like emotional when I was looking at my numbers, because I was like, holy shit, like I literally worked on average 5 to max 10 hours a week. And there was a whole chunk of this year I didn't work at all except for client stuff. And like, I still like made such good money, and I was just so thankful. Like my business in so many ways saved me this year. And instead of being like, oh, some things aren't working anymore, I was able to be like, holy shit, like this really worked without me needing to work. And not that that's going to work forever. Of course not. It runs out. But like, thank you. Thank you to my clients. Thank you to my systems. Thank you to God and my business and just like my community. Like just so deeply, deeply thankful.
It's so funny. I think what you just said is so important. It's like, I feel like people are on to spectrums where either like they'll never cash that in, sort of like they'll never be like, I have a season where I just can't work as much and I want to like cash in all that I've built and like really give myself that. And so I think it's beautiful that you actually gave yourself that, or they're on the opposite end where they think they should be able to coast forever and not experience any downturn of that. And so I just want to give you like so much credit there too for playing in the both and of being like, I can cash this in when I need to, and I also know how to like show the fuck back up when I need to, because I feel like that is the foundation for a successful business, is knowing when you can pull back, when you can hit, you know, the brake a little bit, or when it's time to hit the gas. And obviously right now you're in a gas season, but it doesn't make like the brake season wrong.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I needed that reflection. Totally.
It just means like, it's a little clunky at first. Like you're like, oh, am I hitting it too hard, too soft? Like it's a little jerky or whatever. And like, I think you're kind of getting even past that, or like it was sort of in that jerky season of like, are you taking on a lot? Should we pull back? Should we not? And now it's like, okay, like you're starting to cruise, like the social is happening. I think even like the commitments we had talked about in Basecamp of like social, but also like reading and time for yourself. It feels like you're like, I'm really hitting the commitments that I wanted to right now. And I think that's really something to celebrate too. Like the only like quote unquote problem that I can see from where I sit is time. Like you just have to launch these things, right?
Yes. Yes. And I think that when I have the fertility cocoon like officially out, I will have more creative energy to then invest in the mothered business runway. Whereas I feel like I have energy, physical energy, but creative energy is a little bit different. Like the inspiration piece is like a little, yeah, I'm just like pumping out ideas like crazy for FC because it's imminent. And I know that as soon as I feel like that baby's in the world, I can then go and birth the next one.
For sure. I mean, they're obviously like tangentially related, but they're such different conversations that you're having in some way that like to bounce back and be creatively very invested in both is just totally unrealistic in some ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, for example, for me, I think Dateable is a bit easier because it's so related to what I'm doing all day. So it's like just a different thing. And I just say that to say, like, I don't think you could expect more of yourself than what you're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I'm really at peace now with like being the fertility girl. Yeah. I had an amazing talk this week around advocating for IVF. So like we have a public care system in Canada, and the like in terms of our taxes pay for our medical and most things are free, but IVF is not free and it's very, very expensive. And there's one province in Canada that will do one round free. And so like today I did a big thing just on advocating for like, you know, why are we paying for all these other medical procedures and not treating fertility as a medical condition? Mm-hmm. And all the people that like need it. And so I can just see like being more vocal and like wearing that more proudly than I was at first open to being like the voice for.
Yes, I love that. It's like, you know, you're meant to do that. So you're just stepping into it more and more. And then, like you said, your mindset will catch up. Like, but you doing the advocacy is the action, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not thinking about who's judging or those five people who are watching my Instagram stories or any of that stuff. It's like, whatever. Moving on.
So good. And that's obviously dissipated quite a bit since you've just kind of been in the posting and stuff like that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting how it's like so much related to like the inertia in some ways. And then like once you're out of that, you're like, oh, they kind of don't matter anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so good. Okay, so Fertility Cocoon is going to be like launched by when?
Next month on the 22nd.
22nd, okay.
And then, so basically now for a month, we're doing the social runway hype stuff leading up to that. At the end of the month is our fertility high tea business shower. So I feel like that's going to kind of be like a 2-week period of giveaways and excitement and going to try to get some press stuff. So that's really my focus next month.
I think, I mean, we already talked about this, but this was just something I wanted to like make sure to mention is you're just going to have so much visibility in this. And so just remembering like to use both. So sending them to Mother Business waitlist often too, even if it feels odd, like, it's weird to put both of these links together. It's weird. Like I would definitely remember to do that too, where I think like you want to start feeling like these live together a bit. And so just remember like you're like, and if you're like here for this, go here. Like I think if you could, you know, casually build that wait list up over the next month, you'll feel so different in like even just the certainty of that.
Okay, so how does that funnel look practically speaking in your mind?
I think it just looks like if you're talking about the like business tea or something, you're like, and if you're also looking to birth or grow, sign up for Mother Business Waitlist here. It's like one sentence here and there in some of this stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because we're also doing the rebrand next month for the podcast. I started changing my Instagram handle and people have been noticing. So they're like, oh, I like the mom and CEO thing. So I guess like that's what you're referencing, like the whole like fresh start for both of these kind of speaking to both, this is where I'm going this year, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you still definitely want it to be like, okay, focus is fertility cocoon and like bringing people along on that journey. But I think like the angle of like, and if you're also on your own journey with fertility or business, mm-hmm. here are the ways I can help you get in fertility cocoon or sign up for our waitlist for the mother business. Like, it's almost like, how can Robin help me? Well, there are two ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So that means then I need to complete the website updates for sure. And change. Is that like, I've never changed my podcast name. Is that going to be an issue? Like, I use Buzzsprout to host. Would I just change it there and it would automatically do it on all the directories?
I'm almost positive. I have not personally done that, but I have had a client do it and I'm almost positive it was that simple.
Okay. So I'll just do that and then check that the podcast page URL doesn't change because it's hyperlinked everywhere on my website.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I guess new artwork for that too.
Yeah. Listen, I wouldn't go crazy, right? Like, I wouldn't feel like this has to be perfect.
Give me all the things to do.
Yeah. Like, I think this is more just like, even if they go to a waitlist page and it doesn't navigate them to everything else perfect yet or whatever, like, we just want them to be able to be like, hey, let me know about this kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. I'll do what I can and then, but for sure, start with the waitlist.
Yeah. Like, you're warm people are just going to be like, put my name on the waitlist kind of thing. And that's like all we want to gather during this time. But I just think like you might as well is sort of the point. Like if you're going to be out there getting the visibility, like you might as freaking well like get some people on the waitlist too.
Yeah, totally. And especially like, as you said, using the angle of I'm launching another business, like teaching from that experience, integrating the business wisdom from that journey so that it's still relevant to my current audience.
I think like that's going to feel, from what I know about you, but tell me if this feels true for you. I think that you don't do well when you have to live in the black and white.
What makes you think that?
I know, right? It's like so crazy to have that assumption. But I think that that's like very like where you are going to feel out of alignment or feel quite a bit of like crunchiness or tension. And so I think like them like living together with one, obviously getting a very clear priority and like, you know, what you want to say and how and all of those things, but with them still being able to live together, I feel like that's where you're going to feel like, ooh, this feels good. I think when you feel like you're drastically splitting your attention, you're going to feel like really crunchy. I imagine I'm not a mother of two children, but I imagine it's a little bit like that where it's like, okay, but we're all in the same home and I'm taking care of you both at the same time. But if I can literally only take care of one of you at a time, I'm going to feel really weird and torn all the time. Kind of, you know?
Oh, yeah. Love that analogy. Yes, because they both are my babies.
Yeah, versus like them living in different houses and you like running back and forth or something like that. Like, I think that's what we're trying not to feel is like the newborn lives in this house and the big kid lives in that house. We're like, they both live in the same house and sometimes one gets a little more attention than the other, but like it kind of works itself out.
Yeah. And in a way, it kind of niches me in my business coaching.
Yep.
Because I just become like, I just remember, like, before I knew anything about Jenna Kutcher, I knew she had two miscarriages, and I was so much more likely to buy her Pinterest course or whatever, because I was like, she's a human being, and she's been vulnerable, and I'm thankful to her for that, and, like, it just made me connect to her personally before I ever professionally did.
So true. And even if that was a different thing, like, insert anything, like knowing that like level of depth or vulnerability of someone is like so what we're looking to feel. I think especially in like even like a post ChatGPT era where like all the like education content in the world just like is out there now kind of thing. So being able to like bring the personal angle and being able to like demonstrate that through like letting them see you launch this and everything is just going to really be like your kind of game changer.
Yes, I really see that vision now.
So yeah, I think like focus for mother business is just build the waitlist a bit.
Okay.
I think that is just going to change how you feel about it when you have to like make that switch, but it's also just going to make it feel a lot more integrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. Easy. I feel like what makes sense, you tell me, is to go back to some of like vision and identity stuff, since we have some strategy space, I guess we could say, or strategy is figured out.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, tell me how you're feeling. I know like once you kind of did some of the vision stuff, it feels like it came through quite clear and quite strong, but has it felt easy to like stay in that or hold that, or is it like hard to stay connected to that consistently, or just kind of give me a rundown there?
Yeah, like I think I had this moment where I like zoomed out at myself this year and I was like, you're like a 2-year-old having a tantrum the whole year. Like, you know, it's like literally I was that toddler who wanted all the toys and no one was bringing me my toy and I was not okay with it. And everything was just like, I was really mad at the universe. And I just had this moment recently where I zoomed out and I was like, holy shit, like your life is so good. Mm-hmm. And 10 years from now, like a lot of these things are just not going to be a thing. And like, you're really not entitled to anything. Like, I think that's what it really comes down to, is just this like deep reverence for the blessings in my life and not feeling like, and not from a place of worthiness, because of course we're all worthy of everything we desire in a good, beautiful, happy life. But just the sense of entitlement that like I get to be in control of what that looks like, and that my way is the best way, and that if other people can have it, I should have it kind of thing. Like just that really childish and mature entitlement was really ripe for me this year, especially in the fertility space. And I just had this moment of like, wow, I am so lucky to have, I mean, I've always known this obviously, but it's just a deeper level of like, I have the most beautiful child. I am so fucking lucky. Like I am truly blessed. And like these little people, it's not about having a baby. It's like they have a soul that's meant to be on this planet at this moment in time to this family in time. And how dare I think that my timing is like more important than another soul's divine timing on this planet, you know, or that like my family is the family that's there for their purpose. And so I think I've just like really connected with this healthy detachment where I can be in the energy and like feel more safe with what I desire, but also truly genuinely don't feel entitled.
I love the TED Talk that Robin just took us through, basically on this idea of not being entitled to anything and truly how useful that is. I mean, I think that this is such an important thing in business. I feel like our industry, I've talked about this in different ways, but I think our industry has absolutely, you know, been plagued by this entitlement epidemic of everyone feeling like they shouldn't have to do very much, but should have to have really, really, really outrageous results. And when I say not do very much, I don't mean like you have to work 24/7, but I mean like you have to deliver a great thing to make money from that. Like you have to actually solve a problem for someone. You have to actually show up and give them a reason to buy from you, right? And I think that when we feel so entitled to it, we don't think we should have to do any of the things. And it just keeps us so stuck in business, right? And I think so much of the marketing and messaging out there is creating this epidemic because people think, well, I shouldn't have to do all of that. So-and-so says I shouldn't have to do all of that, right? But it's so damaging because then you don't really have a win. You're like, well, I'm not supposed to do any of that, but I'm supposed to get insane results. Okay, well, then what do I actually do? Like, how can I get those? And you're stuck. You're backed into a corner, right? When you're like, well, I'm not entitled to anything, but I can see how it would be pretty easy to do XYZ things to go get the result I want. That's where your power comes back. That's where you're going to be able to move and take action and create what you want. And so I just really wanted to kind of take this beautiful lens that she walked us through and say, like, there is a dark side of that in our industry. And as soon as we can release that idea of like, I shouldn't have to, and lean more into what feels good to do here, is when everything changes. I feel like you should do a podcast episode on this. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, I don't know.
I mean, I just think we're living in this age of like impatience and instant gratification and entitlement and like all these things that I try to be aware of and totally got caught up in. And I'm like, wow, like my timeline, like what is 4 years in the grand scheme of an 80 to 90 year life? Like, come on, give me a break, you know? And just like the suffering that we inflict on ourselves when we make those things. Oh, yeah, I could talk about it forever.
Yes, I feel like that is such a valuable message. I mean, for so many very obvious reasons, but I think that what comes up for me most there is like, this is almost like your thought leadership coming through. Like, I think that was such mm-hmm. like a beautiful way. I've never heard someone put it quite like that, that's been through a similar journey to you. And I thought that was so beautiful. And obviously there's so much reverence that you have for your journey, but I also think there's so much application to like, you could insert business to what you were saying to totally. A certain extent too. And so I almost feel like just like we were talking about almost like the connection of blending both businesses, like it almost felt like that was your thought leadership to me in doing some of that of like, mm-hmm. the parallels there and all of that. And I feel like that's also something we've talked about you stepping more into is it's yeah. not just like I'm a great coach because I'm like great at holding this space or supporting you. It's like I have really, really important and crafted and nuanced ideas that I want to like share with you. And I feel like that's some of your next level.
Yeah, definitely. Like that's the wisdom piece I really want to embody more next yeah. year. Like I really want to bring more wisdom because I think we're all needing that so much more than like the flashy silver bullet stuff.
Uh-huh. I made that face because I'm like 2024 is going to be a very fucking interesting year with like yeah. US election. And one of my clients is very into astrology and she was explaining to me today about like Jupiter moving into Aquarius and what a big deal that is. I don't know if that's your thing or not, but apparently it's a very big deal. If you guys are listening and you know why that's a big deal, tell us. But I might have even gotten that wrong. Like, feel free to correct me if it's not Aquarius. But like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel like there's so much alive and like what's coming next year, what's already here in like our global scale and all of that. And I think you have like such an important piece of that that you can hold if you really let yourself lean in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really feel that. I saw a meme that said 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023 give us a lot of questions and 2024 gives us answers.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I really felt that like a lot of things are going to end
mm-hmm.
and also start.
Yep.
Cycled.
I love that you said that because what it brought up for me, and maybe this feels totally clear or maybe it doesn't, but do you feel so clear on what's ending? Like, do you even feel clear? Like when we think about the mothered business, I feel like in some ways you're giving up so much in your mm-hmm. coaching business in some ways, like, you know, like giving up many of the things you've built to move into this. Do you feel like you've almost like done that excavation of like, what am I giving up or leaving behind or what's like getting left in 2023?
Yes, that was part of the tantrum.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff works. Why am I throwing it away? But, it, you know, you just can't take some things into the next level. Like, you yep. just literally can't because they'll just hold you back. And that's really where faith comes in, right? That, like, piece of I can show up and I also can't control all the things. And I can have faith that I'm feeling nudged in this direction for the right reason. And like things can unfold there. Like I'm okay with some mystery and some uncertainty around it, but totally. I feel like this year I'm burning a lot to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I got burned to the ground. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a rebirth in a lot of ways.
I wonder if there is like, are you like a physical ritual person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like just like some beautiful ritual you could cultivate for yourself and that feels so relevant. Like,
yeah.
Even like the entitlement piece you were talking about, like letting go of that or burning pieces of the business or like, you know, I'm just making stuff up, but like even writing those things on paper and doing like a burning ritual might be like really healing.
Yeah, I agree. Because I'm not in the mood to do a word of the year or a vision board. And I think that's part of the entitlement piece for me too. It's like, I really want God to surprise me in a beautiful way next year. Like, I really want to blank slate it a little bit. So I do think that usually when I'm creating my vision for the next year, I feel like I'm in the energy. And like, we've talked about some of those like tangible things on my vision. Yeah. But I feel like it's, I agree with you. For me, it's more important about like completion with this year now.
Yes. Like, we can get into all the vision stuff, and or you can be supposed, like, it almost feels like that's not, like, I feel like once we like had that conversation and you went away and did some of that, it almost feels like that clicked into place quite a bit for you. But I think, yeah, like, yeah, like so much of your year and your medicine right now seems like it's about the burning, right? Mm-hmm. And like finding some like almost like resolution or like satiety in that feels relevant.
Yes. I think I just need peace with it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'll just do a burning ritual.
Because I think once you come from that place, like you're, I mean, you're not, because we've planned so much and you have such a clear like trajectory. But in some ways, you're walking into 2024 like blank slated. Like, you have mm-hmm. almost two new businesses, not even really, because obviously your coaching business is so solid and has been around, but like in many regards, totally new formation, right?
Yes.
Fertility Cocoon, totally new. Like, even just like having this new doctor and new support and new trajectory, it feels like you're like, you almost want to come in and like, you know, all white, clean, yeah, slate, fresh, like energy.
I'm the virgin bride.
Yes. Like, I'm like, you need to like wear white and burn some shit or something. But like, yeah. It really does feel like the energy. And I think almost like working with that, embracing that, like, it feels like that's very much what you're saying. It's not a pushing against or a fighting it anymore. It's like a riding with it, really like leaning into it.
Yeah, I heard this quote from a mountain climber, and he said, when you're climbing the mountain, you don't want to make the mountain your enemy. You want to make it your friend. Mm. And it was like, oh, okay, like, I've literally been making this whole, these goals, these big goals I had for myself, I've been making them the enemy instead of like really loving the process. And I think, like, yeah, from what I've seen from my own success and other people who really succeed, if I had to pick one thing besides trust, like self-trust and divine trust, I would say the number one differentiator I've seen is that they really commit and love the process, even when, yeah, it's not fun.
I totally co-sign that.
It's never just about the end goal, right?
Yes, 100%. And everything takes time. And so you kind of have to love the process, or you never, yeah, get the time in the game to like actually see the results.
Exactly. And if you're not okay with the process, you're probably not going to get to that finish line. Like, how many people, yep, quit right before their biggest breakthrough?
Yeah, totally.
So I think that's also like part of my commitment, is just to like be like, okay, stop fighting the process. Don't be that. See, I'm a rebellious teenager and a toddler tantruming at the same time. Like, worst combo.
Well, let me give you just like some grace there. I think what I don't want you to do here, and I don't think you are, but it's important to say, is write off the emotions that come with it. I think, like, yeah, we're talking about macro, you're leaning into the process, but yeah, micro, on a Tuesday, you might still want to have a meltdown in base camp, and that's okay too. Like, mm-hmm, it's still not fun to burn it all to the ground. It's still not fun to have to start at the beginning, quote unquote, whatever that means, of a process. And so I just want you to feel permission for both there. Like, we can hold you to this higher vision and this like trust, and also it's okay to have moments, yeah, where human, that's hard to latch into, and you want to be the rebellious teenager, the tantruming toddler. Like, I like, let's honor those pieces too.
Yeah, thank you for letting all of them be welcome, right? It's just, I don't want to get stuck in those, yes, two.
I think that's perfectly said. Like, there's like a thing to move forward to, and those don't, like, we don't want those to get in our way. Ideally, if we process them, they actually catalyze and move us faster. But yes, totally. I love this conversation we had at the end so much, because if I had to attribute my success to a single thing, I really believe it would be loving the process. I think that is so crucial to all success, but especially sustainable success, right? I think so many people take the mentality of like, I'll do anything. I'll do whatever it takes to get the result. And like, that's fine. And there's like some beauty in willingness, right? But if you're doing a thing you hate, the likelihood that you will be able to sustain it long enough to, you know, really see the compound effect of that and get long-term results off of it is next to nothing, right? And so finding something that you love enough to stay in it is pretty much guaranteed to get you the success, right? Because you're going to stay in it long enough to figure that out. If you just think you're taking the fast pass to success by doing something you hate, you're not creating success that's going to even feel like success, and definitely not, oh my gosh, there's so many else words, definitely not success that's actually sustainable, right? So just a little note to say, like, it actually does matter if you love the process. It actually does matter if you're doing something you really care about. It actually does matter if you're aligned to your strategy. Now, it doesn't mean we sometimes don't have to get uncomfortable or make a shift or push ourselves in new ways, but like this fundamental piece of like, do I want to show up for this? Do I love this? Is so critical and the biggest game changer I know. So good. I'm so excited for you. This feels really big. It feels like, I don't know if the word landed is what I want to use here, but yeah, it feels like so much of the stuff that's been floating for you is landing, right? Whether that's like some identity stuff or some vision stuff or some practical, like, what does our social grid look like? I feel like it's all kind of like landing.
I totally agree. The word I've had this whole week is just feeling settled.
Settled. Yes, that's so good.
It's just like, yeah. Equilibrium a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, that feels, I know you're not picking a word, but if I was going to give you one, that might be one to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, coming back into that balance.
We could revisit that later, but yeah.
I'm like, what's the opposite of that?
Oh my God, I know. That is always the first thing I think. I'm like, fuck, what shit am I going to get if I pick this word? Yep.
Exactly.
It's so true.
Oh, the double-edged sword.
Yeah, actually, it's funny because equilibrium could be a scary one when you say it like that. Like mine this year was flourish, and I feel like for the first half of the year, I for sure didn't flourish. I don't know what the opposite is, survived, like kind of thing.
That's so funny. What's your word next year?
I think it's, well, I'm still sitting with it. I'm deciding between like gratitude or savor.
I love that. Savor was my wedding word.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
It was so, we did a wedding week in Italy and it was like the perfect word and it was all perfect. So I feel like that's a safe bet.
Yes, I like that word. I feel like that's like quite similarly to you in some ways, like the past couple of years have been a little bit of a roller coaster. And so just wanting to like, mm-hmm. reaffirm for myself how like I have everything I want and it's just like all here and I don't want to do anything but take that in, you know?
Yeah, I'd be present with that.
Yeah.
Love that for you. Ooh, it's gonna be a good year.
It is. I feel like we are on a very good trajectory. Okay, so I know you're kind of done now for the year. Yeah. But I'm in base camp, you know, I'll be checking in. So let me know, but
thank
obviously
you.
Take the time. Definitely let me know about your burning ritual. I would definitely think about combining both. Let's focus on waitlist a little bit, but otherwise, you know, here for anything. But I think mostly like you've done a shit ton of work to get to this point in the year and it's, you get your break, you know.
And knowing me, I'm still going to like do all the sales page website stuff. Like I find that stuff fun. So
yeah, I think that's like, that's good if you're using it as like a creative outlet.
Exactly. Yeah. Not work.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Very different vibes.
Totally. Thank you.
Good. All right. Keep me posted. I'm here. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Right. Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Literally. Your precious earbud time means the world to me, and I'm incredibly grateful that you chose to spend it with this podcast. Your feedback is not only valuable, but essential to me on this journey. So if you've enjoyed the podcast and found it beneficial, please take a moment to leave a review. And here's the best part. To express my gratitude, I'll select one lucky reviewer each month to receive my ultimate mini course to maximizing results in one-on-one coaching. If you want to be an in-demand coach who's known for creating those epic results and getting epic results in your own business because of it, then this course is for you, and you can grab the first module of it for free right now at alitoflife.com/mini-course.